This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and the soon-to-be famous everywhere, Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. We were going to scout the 49ers to start out, but Corey, politics. Mike, I want your I want your input as well.
I might vote today after the show.
Okay. Are you going to wear your sticker to make sure everybody knows?
I don't want to vote, to be honest. It just feels like I have to.
I did it yesterday after the show.
Nice. Okay. Who'd you vote for?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, by the way, there's more than one race on the ballot, too.
What?
There are many races in this
world. Oh, my God. On the ballot, for God's sakes.
The race of life is what we like to call it.
DeAndre Hopkins is about to get traded to the Chiefs, but...
Yes! Yeah, baby! Finally!
Mike has been pulling for a receiver
trade. Do you know I have about a dozen of his rookie cards that are about worthless for all the teams he's
stuck in? And just
he has... Hall of Fame numbers. Yeah. If he retired today, he'd be 50-50 for the Hall of Fame if you look at his numbers. If he can go to Kansas City and play his last 2 to 3 years there and be an impactful player, he's 100% a Hall of Famer.
Now, another option,
let's go!
Corey, that I was going to say, we can pivot to Micah Parsons on Twitter and the compilation of all the old Cowboys players who are not here anymore who said, yeah, I like going somewhere else.
All right, we can do that
if you
want.
It's up to you guys, or we can stick with the 49ers.
I had lunch with DeAndre Hopkins in San Francisco.
That's right. Or was it Minnesota?
No, San Francisco.
Okay, I thought it was Minnesota at the Mall of Americas.
No, he was at some food court in San Francisco.
When you said food
court,
me
and Jeff Kavanaugh were in line, and he heard us talking about like wide receivers, and he asked some random question, and... I didn't recognize him at all, but Jeff and I are talking, and then Jeff's like, I think that's DeAndre Hopkins. He goes, you're DeAndre Hopkins. And he's like, yeah. And he's a great guy.
Dude, I've always liked him. Okay. He's a good receiver. He's going to a team. Right. Again, I think
is
it
he
makes
a good
this
receiver?
Team, I think he's Dude. Good. He was great at one point.
He was. He hasn't been great in 4 years.
Yeah, and I'll blame that on everybody else and him.
Fair.
It's a combination. Bad suspensions on his part.
Yeah, true. And injuries.
Yep. And if you're ever going to thrive somewhere, obviously Kansas City is pretty damn high up on my list.
He's going to a place, I think, where generally they're likable. The the players, they're generally likable team. So I think he's going to the right place him.
By the way, a lot of people saying also that they already voted. Look, whoever you're voting
for,
I'm glad that people are getting out.
Yeah, we'll
and
do a
voting.
Poll and we'll send it to CNN and Fox News, and then we can have the KNC masterpiece poll.
Dude, that's what we've always wanted. To be able to be like, we are the most important poll in America.
Yeah, and after you turned in your slip, did it get changed on the computer or something?
Didn't they say that only happened on one of like 68,000 ballots? I mean, it's still,
it can happen once,
it's
though.
Still, I know,
if your vote
it is
matters,
still troubling.
I mean, every vote matters. Not really. If you really look at it, every vote does not matter.
So do you want to keep going down this one? Or
I don't.
All right, Kevin.
My last thing I want to talk about is voting. I'm okay for anything else.
All right,
two things that I don't believe in is every vote matters and steroids really hurt you.
Okay, all right.
Oh.
He's not suggesting do steroids.
Very, very different.
Yeah, I know. Those are two things where they have the statue like crumble, like this is what steroids does. I'm like, I think you should show salaries of what steroids does, because they seem to really
but you
help
also
out.
Have the guys like my coach who lost a testicle, you know, because he did steroids and he went through that battle that he had to deal with
because
cancer.
Of steroids.
Yes. So, like, that, I had a coach
that
in high school.
Happen, that like, did that happened with Lance Armstrong.
Did he get a 5-year, $55 million contract?
No,
from
he didn't get that. So, not all of those situations.
Was he like a AAA player that was struggling to make it and then got like a guaranteed huge contract?
Mike, I would say it's one of those, wait till you get there and then risk
and
it.
And then roid it up.
Then risk
but
it.
But they test now too much.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to Conti it.
The Kalen Collar.
I know what you're referring to.
Kalen Collar has a story out on ESPN, and we've seen this.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley said this stuff. Dalton Schultz last year said this stuff. Here are more names. Dorrance Armstrong. I'm smiling. When I walk in the building here, I just know, like, I just have to work. Tony Pollard.
That's at his new place as opposed Washington. To the star.
Tony Pollard, now with Tennessee. This is more about football, just X's and O's. I'm in a better place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, just all around. Kelvin Joseph.
Mm.
Over here in Kansas City, the point is the football and winning championships. There, in Dallas, it was a lot of football and like other stuff. Dante Fowler. You got real facilities here. You might not see tourists coming around, but it keeps the main thing the main thing. And then Javon Kearse, you're on your way to eat lunch, and you're running into tours. I don't know if he's playing anywhere, by the way, right now. And then you're running into tours. You're on your way to meetings. You're running into tours. We're here for football. It's our job to come in and be able to focus, whether we're in the weight room or our coach is teaching us something in the meeting room where you have 30 to 35 people walking by looking through glass while you're in meetings. The distractions that Dalton Schultz talked about.
Yeah.
And we all acknowledged it. We didn't go, hey, shut up about this. But at the time, we were like, no, this seems like it could be a real thing. And then Micah Parsons quote tweets it and says, sometimes you got to call BS when you see it. This ain't it. So
that's, do we think that's in regards then to the story in the comments? And he's like, I didn't agree with this philosophy of.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do you agree that Jerry's philosophy, while, hey, get every penny we can, that's the number one. But the philosophy on it that he tells us about this is, if the spotlight's on you, perform better. Be better. Live up to what that all that stuff is. That's what Jerry will tell us.
All right. I have a take that I think people are going to disagree with. I think this whole deal right here has almost nothing to do with why the Cowboys don't win. Here's the analogy I'm going to use. When Derek Holland is Derek Holland, like pretty much all the time. When he's pitching great, everybody loves him. When he didn't pitch great, everyone said it was because of other shenanigans.
Yep.
I think it's the Cowboys' tendency to fall in love with their own players and misunderstanding generally of how the salary cap can work for you. That is at 95 to 98% of the reason why they lose. Now, a lot of that has to do with the Jones family. I can see. I don't think this is the kind of stuff that actually contributes. Now, I see that there's a group of players who like disagree. I'm just telling you, I think this is an excuse that people will grab onto because they don't win. I think they don't win for a couple of super basic reasons that have nothing to do with tours or whatever else.
I somewhat agree with you. And I know that Jerry's not going to change. He is after power, money, other things than
sure.
Winning. Like winning is most likely fourth or fifth on his care factor. What if for 2 years they stopped the tours and they just said, all right, let's just see if this is a major reason. Now, I get he's 82. He doesn't have much time left on this earth, which means he doesn't have much time left as the general manager. So he's not going to change anything.
Fair.
Like at this point, he's too close to his life being over, which is the day that he's not the general manager. What I'm saying is he's lived a great life. He's 82 years old. Obviously, in the next segment, I'm going to get to somebody who didn't get close to living 82 years. We don't know how long we have on this earth. And Jerry doesn't know if he has 1 year or 20 years left, somewhere probably in that range. So it means I'm not changing because I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. Is I wish for 2 years he would just give it a go. Starting in 2025 through 2026, I'm canceling all of these things that DeMarcus Ware, Cole Beasley, now you have new players that have recently left that they say this is an issue. This is a problem being a player with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to cancel all of these things for 2 years just to see if it makes an impact positively, negatively, or not at all on the team. So I have
like
a better
Mark Cuban
idea.
Shut up for 1 year.
Yeah, and I don't know.
And Dirk was like, please don't say anything this year.
I'm with Kevin. Yeah, Kevin could be right that this has nothing to do. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
For 2 years, let's run our organization like the Denver Broncos or Buffalo Bills, and let's just run it as just a football organization and not like a scene and a party and like we're letting Bank of America watch practice today.
The other thing, and this can be a reality too, and this can definitely be a reality that merges with everything y'all just said. People go elsewhere. They didn't like the scene they were in before, and they feel happier in a scene elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reality. We've all experienced this. You go to a new job, and you're like, I'm happier than I've ever been because I finally, whatever reason, it could be a variety of reasons, but you're going to pinpoint that one about how Joe Mixon, he got down to Houston. He's playing well. What does he say? I'm finally in a place that really is about football. The Bengals went to the Super Bowl with Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this is the right place for me. So people go to different places where either they weren't loved, their agent's like, look, they don't want you, whatever it is. And they go, I'm happier here than I was there. And then they start being asked about it and they'll give you this reason. That could be it too. But the reality for us as fans and what we've seen is they haven't been as successful as we've wanted them to be when the moments matter the most. And are these things distractions? I think it merges a lot with what all of us have brought up there.
I go back to the, and I've seen a lot of these texts, and there are people who do think that this is part of it. And like, people can have whatever opinions they want. And then another person texted
are you,
in.
Are you serious?
Yes.
We can all have different opinions.
But you don't have to agree with all of them, but let somebody have their opinion. But from the 903, I did a tour and it felt like we shouldn't be there, in my opinion. It's less to me about the tours that...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is the commercials and the attention when you didn't necessarily earn it. Because like for most franchises, you have to be really good or really successful to get, you know, that extra commercial money and that extra attention, everything like that. That's not the case with the Dallas Cowboys whatsoever. You hear way more talk. Now, I realize there's a downside that goes with it. You hear way more talk about Dak Prescott than you do Josh Allen. Like, it's not even freaking close how much people talk about Dak Prescott way more than Josh Allen. And I think most objective people would agree that Josh Allen, thus far, has had a better career than Dak Prescott. But it doesn't matter because he plays for the Bills and not for the Dallas Cowboys. And so Josh Allen knows he's going to have to break through. He's going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. He's going to have to make the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl to get that next level of attention. That's what bothers me more than the Cowboys can make money however they want. Mm-hmm. What bothers me is all the benefits that people get without actually having done the work.
Yeah, you get paid not for necessarily winning a championship as a Cowboys player, but just for
you got being, drafted to the right place.
Being a name that people get excited about, being a potential star. And if you're that, you get that opportunity, and then you're comfortable. And then you're not hungry anymore. And that's where we blame a lot of that. There also is the, you know, maybe the X's and O's are bad. Maybe the players don't have the motivation. Maybe there's a lot of things that factor into winning that championship. And coming up with that right solution is the GM's job.
Everybody is motivated by different things. I'm not going to tell you by any means that every single Cowboys player is motivated by this. That would be false. I'm sure there are a ton of players on that team that are motivated internally. And they're like, I don't care about the commercials. I like the money. We all do. But I care. I want to win. I want my legacy for me. But that's not everybody. And usually in a lot of places, you have to fight to get that. And it's not necessarily just handed to you.
I'm with you. This is a tough topic for me because this is kind of one of the reasons that I'm just like, I'm just out. I don't think they're trying their hardest.
Yeah.
Not that the players aren't trying hard on the field. I get, like, they get demoralized by getting run on. And yes, there's quit factor of these Dallas Cowboys. But it's based off of, they know the other team is stronger, maybe a little bit better, and they do not like the physicality of football. But I feel like the front office, the Jones family, because I don't want to put Will McClay in this. I really don't. But I don't know Will McClay great. Not that I hang out with Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones at all, but I know that they are not thinking about football and every which way how they can change things. For example, I know, without giving details, I know right now the Rangers are thinking about a lot of small, minute things. And I'm like, will that really make a change in your 2024 season to possibly your 2025 season? Probably not, from some of the things that I'm hearing. But they are going to try every little small thing down to the detail of, let's say, travel and hotel and what they're doing these 5 minutes at 4:05 to 4:10 versus what they did from 4:05 to 4:10 before a 7 p.m. game. Like, they're going to look at every little thing and think, should we change? Should we stay the same? Is this just too much of a detail that really doesn't matter? And I know a lot of times if you're a Cowboys fan right now, you're thinking every minute, this isn't healthy, but I get what you're doing, because I do it with the, I used to do it with the Cowboys. I do it with the Mavs and the Rangers all the time. Their lineup, how many snaps should somebody be playing? Are they getting tired in the fourth quarter because they've played too many snaps? Their percentage of snaps is this and that. My question is, do you think Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are thinking about those details? If you're like kind of a psycho fan of the Cowboys, do you think that the general manager and then his son, who's kind of assistant general manager, do you think they're thinking of all of these small, minute things to possibly help the Cowboys win a game?
Sometimes I do think Steven is thinking that. We've had some conversations where I do get that feeling. But I understand your point.
I just know general managers. I know people that are scouts. Obviously, Broadus is a scout, but I know a lot of other ones too. I know how much time and effort they put into losing. If that sounds, they almost never win. And they're still every second of their life thinking about their team, the other teams, what they can do to possibly change the outcome. And that's what you have to be in this world of sports, this competitive high level, to have the opportunity to possibly win. And that's what frustrates me with these stories is, I know that the Jones family is not thinking that way.
And I'm actually with Micah on this. I think it is BS. Well, we probably think it's BS for different reasons. I think it's BS because this story makes it seem like this is why the Cowboys don't win. And I fundamentally do not agree with that whatsoever. I think, I would love more elaboration from him, and he's welcome on at any time. I think he thinks it's BS because he's like, no, that's not an accurate assessment of how the tours go and how we work and everything like that. So we might think it's BS for different reasons, but I agree with him. I think that story, good for them for writing it. I appreciate the research. I think that has nothing to do with why they don't win. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to move some stuff around so we can talk with Robert Horry at 10:45. Now, coming up next, it's Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bastick.
Would you like to spend your month's salary on going to this World Series? Ooh. Next.
Typo numbers. There's a towering drive down the line. Ohtani's broken through. It is gone. A majestic home run in second deck. 7-0 LA.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Robert Horry coming up in about 20 minutes. But right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
So many different directions to go. I am going to start off with a sad note. Hopefully, most people have heard. Last night, I heard watching the Lakers game last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if it was how long it had been, but the first that I had heard of it was, unfortunately, the passing of legendary Dodgers pitcher Fernando Valenzuela. At 61 years old. Now, they have not, as according to this ESPN article, they have not given a reason for death.
Because that's
a cause.
That's young.
It is.
Like,
and he looked like to be in decent, like 61-year-old shape. You know, like nothing. I'm not, you know, if a guy like, I'm bringing this up. I'm not like saying he deserved this or anything like this. Just follow me, please. And don't be a weirdo on what I'm saying here. It's like, Larry Allen most likely was 350 to 400 pounds.
Yeah.
I still don't know what caused, and it's not our responsibility to get that to you. If stupid TMZ wants to do stuff like that, they can. But like, sometimes you think of, if somebody weighs that much, there might be issues with the body that happen earlier than Bill Walton, like when you're like super tall. Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to die early because you're super tall, but you can maybe have different problems with different body structures, I will say. But for Fernando, unfortunately, at 61, I was expecting this. Fernando Mania happened in 1981. This is the last time that the Yankees and Dodgers played against each other in the World Series, which I will get to here in a minute. I would expect for game 1, 2, 6, or 7 that Fernando, if healthy, unfortunately not with us anymore, that he was going to throw out one of the first pitches, because I think the crowd would have gone nuts. You will still see when you're watching now, maybe even more tomorrow, you will still see 34 jerseys in the stands when you go to a Dodgers game, because Fernando Valenzuela is one of I know he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's one of the most legendary players in Dodgers history.
Oh, yeah, and culturally in L.A., he meant a lot to that city.
Can I mention this one thing since you just said that? I would recommend the 30 for 30 on Fernando Nation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it Fernando Nation or Fernando Mania?
I thought it was Fernando Nation.
Okay.
But it is very good either way.
It starts with Fernando.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely watch that. I checked that out. It was really good. How difficult is it to throw a screwball?
I would say,
I'll turn my mic off and listen.
I would say it's not the most difficult. It's like a changeup. You're just turning over your arm. Just think of going thumbs down when you throw. Now you got to twist it all the way where it's thumbs sideways. It's just a lot of torque on your arm. So most doctors, most trainers and stuff just said, look, it's not worth it. You have the split finger. You have the changeup. You have different ways of throwing an off-speed pitch that kind of looks like a fastball without putting that much torque on your arm. So I'd say it's not super difficult, but most people would say it's not worth it. For some reason, I think you have to have a lot of flexibility somewhat in your shoulder to do it too. And so he had the structure, I'll say the arm structure, to do it and handle it.
I think it was either RBI baseball or maybe it was backyard baseball. It was an unhittable pitch. And nobody could do it. Now, like, was it a wiffle ball? It's unhittable, man.
Yeah.
The screwball, baby.
I mean, really what you're doing is throwing, in a way, a right-handed slider left-handed.
Exactly.
Which, you know, is...
Or vice versa, yeah.
Right. So he is a lefty. If you never heard of Fernando Valenzuela, I recommend the 30 for 30 Fernando, whether it's Nation or Mania.
It's very good.
It is a great one, and it shows, it really, just to give you an idea, the Mexican community hated the Dodgers. And you will learn that the LA area hated the Dodgers for a long time, and Fernando solved, in a weird way, Fernando Valenzuela solved a lot of the issues with the either Mexicans or Mexican Americans that were in that area, and then how that became their team.
To a way you almost can't believe. Like, I know you're like, oh, I've seen things be really popular before. Like, watch this. It's a whole different level.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's a great, also, as you get ready for Dodgers Yankees, to understand the history of this, because obviously in 81 when he is a rookie, that's the last time the Yankees and the Dodgers faced each other in the World Series. Now, because of that, because you have the two most popular teams, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, I hate the Dodgers, I hate the Yankees, they pay too much money for their players and we can't compete in this and that. Well, last year, the Rangers were in the World Series. We will always remember it is awesome, and so were the Arizona Diamondbacks. The average sale of a ticket last year for the World Series was $685 if you take all five games. I mean, that's the average sale of a resale, right? You can be a season ticket holder and you're not having to pay as much because they're like, we reward you somewhat for paying for your 81 games or your 40 games, getting a half package. But if you wanted to buy on the secondary market last year, the average ticket price was $685 to go to the World Series.
I'm going to go out on not too much of a limb right here and assume that this one is significantly higher. Surely it crosses 1,000.
Yes. Right now, resale tickets for World Series opener at Dodger Stadium against the New York Yankees are starting at $1,358. That is on StubHub. Vivid Seats, another resale outlet, said its average price of tickets sold for this year's World Series is $10 more, $1,368. I don't know if that includes all your taxes and fees. Because at that price, you're looking at another $200 on top of that, at that price, maybe more. And I know that that was a deal that I know certain people in government were trying to get rid of those taxes and fees. I'm hoping that, in a weird way, it's a very small thing in our world, but I'm hoping
trying to get rid of the taxes and fees or just make it more clear?
Make it clear.
Make it more clear. Yeah. Like
nobody wants to get rid of more money.
Right.
I mean.
So anyways, it says resale prices average $550 for the 2009 World Series. That was the last time the Yankees were in it. That was Phillies, Yankees, 2009. Now, it just shows inflation and how much more somewhat it costs to go to games. It costs to live, you know, in the United States in 2024. Is that the Yankees in 2009, $550 on average to get a ticket for the game. Right now, $1,358 for that game one right now. And for all the other games right now, it says it's 40% higher than last year's ticket sales.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, the two teams.
It is amazing. Now, you asked this earlier in the playoffs, Kevin. You said, I don't know what your words were. You can kind of remember, because I'm going to say disappointed.
Yeah.
But that maybe some of these bigger moments were not by the biggest players in the game.
And so I know we played the Shohei clip to come back, but I was just curious if that colored your opinion along the way, everybody, that like the Dodgers were advancing, but it wasn't Shohei and the Dodgers are advancing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like the Yankees were advancing, but it wasn't Judge and the Yankees are advancing. So I get it. Like you're going to get MVP versus MVP, best versus best. But if you look at their run in the playoffs, it hasn't been Ohtani versus Judge. Like obviously you would think Stanton or Soto and like it. I was just curious if that bothered anybody or you're like, no, because they're still in it.
Well, and this is what's going to be interesting for us. We know we say it's not going to cost us any money to watch. But yeah, you have DirecTV or YouTube TV or whatever you have. Like it is, I guess if you have the antenna, it costs you $30 to get an antenna because these games are on Fox. So you have that going for you. But you're not paying the $1,500 approximately to be at these games. I was just wondering if you're paying that much money and it ends up being 4-1 and the major hits were from Will Smith and, you know, I'm trying to, Gleyber Torres comes to mind because he's a guy that we thought was going to be great in 2018 and 19. And he's going to be a nice player on the free agent market.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get like 15 mil a year, I'm assuming, on a multi-year contract. But if those are the guys that have the moments and Shohei and Aaron Judge and Soto and Mookie Betts don't have big moments, I don't know if ripped off is the wrong word. But do you feel like, you have to have a lot of money to be paying, let's say, for two tickets, $3,000.
If Ohtani's on second base and Kiki Hernandez drives him in with a home run. That's exciting, right?
It definitely is, but...
Because Hernandez has been awesome in the playoffs.
Flip that scenario.
Yeah.
What is the excitement level like if it's...
Let's switch the line.
Because I think a lot about...
Mookie Betts is on third.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think a lot about that Duke-North Carolina game from several years ago where people were like, these prices are insane. Duke of North Carolina is a viable brand. But the reason they were insane is because of Zion, and then his shoe exploded 45 seconds in, and everyone was like, oh... Okay.
Yeah. No, you're right. I even kind of as I was saying, Betts on third, Ohtani at the plate, like my mind started going, oh, wow, yeah, that is different. It's definitely different. And hell, Mike, the other day I saw after the Dodgers won, somebody posted 4 days until Ohtani gets up to bat. And I was like, that's what they've been pushing, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's my next thing as we get ready for Friday. I'm very excited about Friday night baseball.
I can tell.
And
that's
Saturday
good.
Is... If you were the Dodgers, we just talked about Fernando Valenzuela passing away. Unfortunately, he cannot be a person who throws out a first pitch. LA and New York have so many people to choose from that whether it's an actor, actress, musician, former player, a LA Laker. If you were the Dodgers, and I know we're running up against it for Robert Ori here in a second. Do you have somebody off of the top of your head? Tom Hanks was just there as a big Dodgers fan. Would Tom Hanks do it for you? Or do you need Magic Johnson was there? Is it Matt? Like, who would you pick to throw out these pitches? Because there's unlimited choices here.
I think I would prefer a former player, but for the Dodgers. But I can see how.
Vin Scully.
Do you want multiple people? Vin Scully.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I don't.
He's dead.
Yeah.
That would be awesome if he could throw from the grave.
But I want a former player or someone directly associated with it that's not just a fan. But I could see how fans would be pumped for whether it's Magic
Johnson, Sandy Koufax.
LeBron. That would yeah.
I mean, is this Kendrick weird? Lamar. Would you have Clayton Kershaw throw out the first pitch?
maybe not Kershaw.
But yeah, and then when we get to Yankees,
I mean, like,
is it easy? Game one's Derek Jeter. Like, I don't, I mean,
seems like the right one.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Yankee.
Is Reggie Jackson, the Mr. October happened against the Dodgers in 77, if I have my year right?
I could see that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Jeter.
Like, do you give it, you know, multiple on that one day because there's so many people? Or, like, and then the other thing, too, we're out of time, but, like, is there the possible way that this starts one of these teams on a run of actually winning, like, three championships in 6 years?
Oh,
they're
man.
Both set up for something special over the next 5 or 6 years, but we see how tough it is to repeat or how tough it is to win like Bruce Bochy did in San Francisco, 3 championships in 5 years.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with 7-time NBA champion Robert Ori right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Going to talk with Robert Ori in just a minute. But I know we were talking baseball. Did you guys see what the Ohtani 50-50 ball went for?
Oh, yes.
Over $2
million, right? Over $2
million, right? $4.39 million.
And the Dodgers wanted it for $300,000. They offered him $300,000 immediately.
Feels like a savvy decision by that guy who got it. To not sell to the Dodgers for $300,000.
I thought I saw it said 2.1, and that
maybe that's where
right
it was
there,
at because I thought I saw 2.4, but I guess
that's
it hadn't
insane.
Closed yet.
$4.392 million. That shatters the record for the most ever paid for a baseball. You remember that one?
Mark McGwire, right?
Mark McGwire's 70th home run sold for $3 million to the creator of Spawn. Todd McFarlane back in 19. Yeah, now you're like, I do kind of remember that. But yeah, $4.392 million. Are you like, hey, good idea, great investment? Or are you thinking, hey, that's a great piece, but we might have overshot the mark on that money just a little bit?
If you're a billionaire or.
What the hell do you care?
Let's just say, I guess, I don't know, $100 million, I guess, and you're a huge baseball fan, then, you know, what else are you going to do with the money?
Yeah. Or you're a big time gambler.
Give it to the poor. Help out people.
I mean, you definitely.
Buy your parents a house.
You definitely could do that. Right now on the DNM Leasing Hotline, we bring to you 7-time NBA champion. Some folks say Big Shot Bob. Some folks say Big Shot Rob. It's Robert Ori. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well. Obviously, NBA has begun. The Mavericks don't start till tomorrow, but I wanted to get your take. And by the way, Robert Horry here, courtesy of Bet Online. You can check out Bet Online for updated NBA title, conference, division, and awards odds, plus updated win totals and player stats. What was your take, or how much did you enjoy the LeBron Bronny team up? Because for a lot of people, they thought it was special. For a lot of people, they're very cynical about how it came to be. What did you think about that moment?
You know, it's special. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, LeBron got him on the team, you know, but if he did or didn't, who really cares? It's a special moment in basketball. You know, at the game, they had Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. You know, if you think about it, it's hard. It's called, you know, it's a testament to LeBron, his longevity. And it's not like he's sitting over there, you know, not playing. He's starting and playing at a high level. You know, the NBA top 100 just came out, and he's in the top 25 or top 15, top 10 or something like that. He still got game. And think about it. He's been in the league 20-plus years, and he has a chance to play. It's not a player alive. I guarantee if you ask Jason Tatum that, and he get a chance to play with his son Deuce, he would love that. Kyrie, if he has boys, everybody, you know, everybody would love that moment to share the big stage with their son.
Robert, when playing in L.A. just seems a little different because it's the Lakers, how much different is it than any other organization, the eyeballs on you and the attraction that it is as a Laker?
You know, playing in Houston and playing in San Antonio and winning championships, it was pressure, but this is a different type of pressure. You know, you got so much scrutiny that comes down with you because it's a franchise, a historic franchise that everybody looks at and they expect you to win. We don't win, they look at you like, oh, you're a failure. And so for me, it was a blessing and a curse, and it put me on the map as far as winning championships and everybody understanding who I was as a player. But it's always a curse too. You have a bad game, they like, you looking over your shoulder like, are they gonna get rid of me because they want someone to come in and excel. So it's a different type of pressure. But the great thing about it is you get to meet people you never thought you would meet. Like, you know, I got to meet Jack Nicholson, Denzel Washington, Halle Berry, all these people that you look up to on the big screen.
Did you, because we talk about this all the time with the Cowboys, did you, because there's a very similar vibe except for maybe the winning part, but did you know about like all the history of the Lakers? Did you care about the history of the Lakers, or were you like, hey, that's awesome, I'm here for this now, like not a history lesson?
You know, growing up a big Laker fan, I kind of did. Growing up a huge Magic Johnson fan, you know, you do. And think about it. When you grew up in Alabama like I did, you really don't have a professional team in the state. And then you say, okay, who do I want to, you know, like? And then you look at players that are similar to your size and skill set. And I said, I like Magic. And then you become a Laker fan. So you look at, you know, the history of Jerry West, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, all these, you know, Elgin Bell, all these greats. And you're like, okay, you want to aspire to be great like them. And you know how it is. Dallas got their one championship. And you know how special it was. Dirk appreciates it. So when you win a championship with a historical franchise like that, and that's no disrespect to Dallas, it's just like, you feel like you in an elite league because winning a championship with the Lakers is totally different from winning with the Rockets or the Spurs for myself. It's amazing that, you know, it's like the ring of glory that is presented by, because they, when you do that, you step into another level.
Robert Horry here on The Fan. Robert, we're looking at these Dallas Mavericks. I know they surprised a lot of people here and around the world that they made the NBA Finals last year. It looks like they've gotten better on paper going into this season. What are your thoughts on these Dallas Mavericks?
I think what they missed last season was that knockdown shooter. You know, I think, you know, Derrick Jones tried it. P.J. Washington had his moments, but now they got Clay, and, you know, you still got P.J., and I think they're going to be exceptional. And the only thing that's going to hurt them is Luka's ability to stay on the court and Luka's ability to stay out of, you know, trouble, meaning getting techs and getting back on defense. Other than that, they got a great opportunity to do something special. If you look at that squad, from head to toe, they're not really missing anything. You know, there's a lot of teams are missing certain things. This team, they're not missing anything when it comes to, like, offensive firepower, defensive firepower, whatever it may be, they have it. They just got to get Luka to play a little defense and stop getting texts.
We agree with that.
Agreed, for sure.
We love them to death, but there are certain things that do frustrate us as fans of the Mavs and Luka Doncic. Now,
you know, they should do like we did. You should have a pot. Anytime you cry, moan, that's $100 in the pot. And at the end of the year, we have a party with the money. And so
you have the most badass party that's ever been on this Mavericks team.
Yes, you would.
When it comes to Klay Thompson, you mentioned him, and obviously you changed teams, but he's only been on one team, somewhat in one system. How big of a transition will this be for him? And as a Maverick fan, when would you expect to see Klay Thompson really mix with this type of offense and these players?
I think the mix part is going to be maybe 10 to 15 games in, because I'm saying that because I don't know what kind of practice schedule they have, and that if you practice a lot, which a lot of teams don't now, that you can get that little camaraderie. But I think with that, he's, you know, once he gets that, he's going to be in the mix. But when you're a player, when you're a shooter, when you're an elite guy like Klay, you can fit in pretty much anywhere. And I think, you know, you look at guys like Kyrie and Luka, they're going to appreciate that because it's a respect factor, because he has championships. He's been around this league all the time. He's set records. So they're going to find a way to make him feel comfortable.
Talk with Robert Horry right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, you have played with plenty of prolific scorers along the way. I'm curious, is there a way to convince a player that you need them to score less? Because we've actually been talking quite a bit about if you could scale down Luka's usage a little bit and maybe have him putting in 5 points or so less per game, that would actually be quite beneficial to this team.
You know, it's funny you say that. I talk about that all the time. I said, you have to sacrifice, and that's the biggest word when it comes to basketball. I've told players before, I said, you don't understand how much we sacrifice to get you that extra 5 points. There's going to be games where you need to sacrifice to get each one of us 5 points, and you go down from 25 to 20 or maybe 15. And the great ones understand that, because, you know, I remember playing with Dream my first year, and he was so intent on getting his buckets. And then all of a sudden he comes back the second year, like, I need you guys to score. And then the next thing you know, he's winning MVP because he's scoring more, because we're scoring and people are going to guard us, and it leaves you more open. And so that certain players got to understand that. I don't know, you know, but in this day and age, a lot of guys, when I say this, they're selfish, and that's not in a good way or a bad way. It's just they're selfish because that's what they think is winning. Me getting buckets. If I'm getting buckets, you know, we should win.
Robert, when it comes to Derek Lively, what do you think his improvement can be? Can there be a sophomore slump, or is his potential so high? The Mavericks think so much of him. He hit a three-pointer in the NBA Finals, which was somewhat shocking. He's taken a few in preseason. What's your thoughts on Derek Lively? And he does have that big matchup against Wimby to start the year.
I love Derek Lively. I love what he can do. I love his athleticism. And this is what hurts me already. You said, oh, he shot threes. Everybody thinks it's so important to shoot threes in this game. It's not. It's about getting buckets. It's about winning games. And if you're outside shooting threes, who's going to get you a second chance point? Who's going to get you a tip out? And that's what people understand. Second chance shots are so important in this game, because there's nobody going to be able to make them all. You know, you might have that night like Luka had in Atlanta, but that's very rare. And so I think for me, you got to have Derek Lively, who's that extra body, who's really a good, you know, rim runner. Use that to your advantage. You know, who cares if you make a three? Who cares if you know, I'd rather you get four offensive rebounds and make a three. You know what I mean? Because that's actually 8 points compared to three. You know, the analytics always talk about that. So give me extra shots and get me in the paint so you can, you know, do what you do best.
The expectations on Wimby are out of this world. People are paying prices for his cards that he is going to be as good or better than Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Is it at this point, I'm looking at it, Luka has made 5 first-team All-NBAs in his 6 years. He's made it to 2 conference finals. He's made it to an NBA finals. He does not have a championship, and he does get quite a bit of criticism for maybe not winning yet. And I look at Wimby and I'm like, man, these people have him at such a high level. I don't know if he can live up at this point to people's expectations.
You know, the thing about players, you know, you think about Michael Jordan's career, you think about that stint when Kobe didn't have championships, you think about all the great players who took a while to get championships. And I think Luka, you know, even Dirk, look how long it took Dirk to get a championship. And I think people won't, once you win a championship and they say, Luka, this is a superstar, he's on this, you know, all NBA team, that don't mean crap. It's about what's around you. You know, if you're not making your teammates better, if your teammates are not stepping up to the plate and knocking them out the park, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. And I think with Wimby, he finally has a point guard. And even though Chris Paul is old, he's going to put the guys in the places they need to be. Because if you watch that San Antonio Spurs team, everybody thought they was Wimby. You had guys shooting the ball when you shouldn't be shooting the ball. You got guys trying to do things that's out of character. And, you know, this is the thing that nobody really wants to talk about now. This thing called a pecking order. You know, we all know it's Luka. Then it goes down to Kyrie. And then maybe it goes down to whoever next, you know. But I think that's the one thing that the Spurs didn't understand. How good, how great, how fantastic that Wimby is. And they should utilize him more. You know, even me covering the Lakers, I look at game one. You finally use AD properly like you should and make him the center of the team, that's the best player on the team. And that's what teams have to do, you know, in order to get to the next level.
Man, appreciate the time very much. Thank you to you. Thank you to Bet Online for making this happen. We'd love to talk with you again at some point during the season.
It sounds good, man. Hopefully Dallas have a good season, and I hope that, you know, I'm a big Klay Thompson fan, that he's able to excel in that system.
Can we get a Let's Go Mavs from you?
Yeah, let's go. No.
Oh, thanks. There you go. Robert Horry, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated NBA title, conference, division, and award odds, plus updated win totals and player stats. That's Bet Online. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, and maybe do a little bit of My Buddy's an Idiot next on The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.